Thanks for listening to the Replatform podcast, sponsored by Crown Peak and Elastic Path and hosted by me, James Gedd, and Paul Rogers. We bring you interviews of industry thought leaders and the C-suite of tech companies and leading retail brands, showcase technology and help you decide what's relevant to your business and discover new ideas and solutions. In return, all we ask is you tell other people about the podcast and share our posts on LinkedIn and Twitter. And if you're new to the show, please do give us a rating. You can go to ratethispodcast.com/replatform. It's nice and easy. Thanks, and we hope you enjoy our latest episode. So we are talking about what makes a major retailer like Macklin's pivot from Magento open source to a Shopify SaaS model. Really interesting, because there's obviously lots of change in the industry where people move platforms. What drives that decision making, like commercially and operationally? So warm welcome back to Ollie Marshall. We've had on previously talking about the business and technology. So hi Ollie, how are you doing?
Hey, very good. Good to be back.
Yeah, so it's fair to say that last time you were on, you were a Magento loyalist enthusiast, and you'd used it open source successfully for many years. It fitted with what you're trying to achieve, the business. It gave you that flexibility. But then something's changed, and I know that you've pivoted since then. So it'd be really, really useful, before we start getting into specific conversations about the tech you've moved to, like what about the need to review the tech stack? And what was the impetus for you as like the MD, and also for the business, to need to change?
Yeah, I mean, so interestingly, I was looking earlier, it was 2 years pretty much exactly since I was last fanboying about Magento. So everything I say should always come with a caveat that in 2 years' time, it could be completely different. But I suppose at the same time, that's a good thing, because it means we're learning from our mistakes and we're developing, right? So I suppose, yeah, I'll give you a quick download. So in the intervening 2 years, we've learned a ton. The market has evolved. Obviously, COVID has been and gone. But also, you know, technology has evolved a lot in this time. So I think, you know, I'm always keeping my finger on the pulse. And, you know, sometimes big changes are not at the right time for the business, commercially, but also from a technology perspective. And since we last spoke, a big focus for us before was basically being the old Macklin that was of the stores in terms of the product set. So that was multi-brand. It was huge number of products, wide set of categories, and selling everything from the big brands, Apple watches, TP-Link routers, all the way through to own brands. I call it Macklin AA batteries. We call that private label or own brand. So the big impetus for us actually has been in October last year. Well, this is when we made the change. So maybe the decision was really made around June last year, was to upend everything we were doing and decide to pivot the business model. So we went from being multi-brand to mostly private label. And I say mostly because if you go on the website today, we do still have some third-party brands on our site, but we're now in far less categories and we're trying to do less things a lot better. And what that's effectively led to is private label is our mainstay, and you know that is the core of our range. Cables, batteries, lighting, some cameras, TV accessories. So at that same time, kind of felt like technology has also moved a long way. We should probably think about what we can do differently in the tech stack, and what we can use the latest and greatest. So that effectively gave us pause and a decision to relook at Shopify, relook at what Magento was doing good and bad for us. And that decision was made to replatform primarily because a lot of the reasons why Magento was so good for us became less important. So what I mean by that is the business priorities changed, and therefore technology and a real custom stack became way less important. And therefore that was why we looked to Shopify and went, okay, so maybe now SaaS makes a lot more sense to us. And then we went from, you know, being fully Magento, a heavily custom and bespoke stack, to Shopify in about 3 months. So it was a good transition for us, and it's done wonders for the business.
Great. And I guess that leads me nicely onto my next question. So about 3 years ago, I think it was, when we, or maybe 2.5, when we met for breakfast and we ended up kind of debating essentially SaaS versus more open, flexible approaches, be that headless or, you know, some of the other platforms like Magento. And at the time, I guess your priority was having flexibility and being able to kind of control your own destiny. You've got an internal dev team, and I know that had been a big part of kind of how you'd operated. How have you found working within the kind of the parameters of Shopify, and what kind of, what are the big differences you've noticed?
Yeah, it's a good question. So when we originally made our decision in terms of tech stack, that was about June 2018. I was very focused at that point in that I wanted to own the stack. And for me, you know, that be it the code base and the servers, even though we were using Magento Enterprise and their hosted solution, but, you know, I was close to the machines at that point, you know, their Docker instances, we could get under the hood. At least from my reckoning at the time, Shopify wasn't in a place that made sense for us. If you ask me now and I re-looked at it, maybe it would have been a different answer based on everything I know now. But at the time, it felt like it wasn't. Today, it just feels like Shopify is incredibly flexible. You know, like you look at the apps and what apps can do. That must be a testament to the API, the richness of the API, the range of webhooks, you know, the ability. You know, Liquid is really an amazing template language. And you can do a lot in that thing, and you can do it quickly, and it is very, very performant. So I think for us today, it was just a no-brainer in terms of the trade-off between having a platform like Magento, where it was very fragile, you know, it was expensive in terms of development and time, but also focus. We had to manage things like infrastructure and patches and system upgrades. A lot of that stuff felt like it made sense at the time, but now we just don't have to deal with any of that stuff, and we can just move really, really fast. So I think the flexibility challenge has gone away for the most part, at least for us.
Crown Peak, enabling organizations to build meaningful digital experiences for everyone, everywhere. Engage your customers with our content management system. Reach your entire audience with our digital accessibility and quality tools, and grow your brand with our product discovery solution. Find out more at crownpeak.com.
Yeah, that makes sense. I do agree with you that 3 years ago, Shopify was a very different beast, and it was a lot more rigid, and particularly like the front end side, like the theming, and yeah, even the Liquid kind of side of things was a lot less flexible. And they've improved a lot. And like you said, they've improved the kind of ecosystem and even, yeah, how kind of apps are working. So yeah, I think there's definitely been a lot of positive change.
Just to interject, like take apps and Magento and Shopify obviously both have their concept of apps. As a platform and as an ecosystem in Magento, it's crazy when you really think about the rogueness of that ecosystem, right? We were grabbing PHP code, you know, either open source or paid apps, stick it into our code base. Shopify, you can see they've come a long way from that. There are still, you know, its challenges around third-party apps, editing your themes and sticking JavaScript on pages. But you can see with things like checkout extensions, pixels, you probably know more of these examples, Paul, than me. But you can see where that Shopify have seen the challenges there and are coming up with solutions. Whereas I think the Magento world is too rigid, is too baked into that framework. That's not going to change anytime soon. You're still going to have these third-party apps that are, you know, from God knows where.
Absolutely. And I think even the model behind those modules in the Magento space as well, like it just doesn't really work. Like, because you'd go and pay $200 one-off for essentially like, yeah, a piece of code that you would then build into your own kind of infrastructure. But obviously that's not progressive. You know, anything you then want to do beyond that, you have to do yourself. Whereas I think the progressive nature of the apps has, yeah, also made Shopify a better environment for brands. So you have and have had for a long time an internal dev team that has worked with Magento. How has your kind of whole team, including yourself, kind of found that transition in terms of ways of working with Shopify?
Yeah. So Shopify as a development environment is pleasure. I think you can see where, you know, the Shopify team, and actually I go way back thinking about Shopify because my first programming language was Ruby on Rails. So if anyone doesn't know, Shopify was built on Ruby, or is built on Ruby on Rails. And also Toby and the founding team were very instrumental in that language. So you can tell straight away, you know, the platform is built for developers if you want to, but it's also very easy to use if you're not a developer. I think, you know, if I think about what are the trade-offs of having now moved to Shopify, for us now there aren't many trade-offs. The only big trade-off is that we are now, we are dependent on one vendor. So it's more that sort of downside risk in that before we could say, oh, we're agnostic, we can swap out Magento, we can, you know, we can swap out this vendor, it was very easy. Whereas today, no, the 100%, the whole thing is on Shopify. So we don't have a real trade-off in our day-to-day, but if, you know, something goes wrong, we potentially would, and we wouldn't have had that before. I think now when I would, you know, talk to someone about why they might migrate from Shopify off Magento and move to SaaS, I really think about, like, is it mission critical? Is it a customer facing tool? Is it evolving really fast? If the answer's a yes, yeah, you've probably got to go SaaS at this point. Like, another example is email. No one would run their own email server. You have to go with a platform. It's just one you have to do. But you are taking on that cost of and that trade-off of being highly reliant on that vendor.
And I got a question around the technology stack, because I think, you know, for a lot of people, when they make that shift towards SaaS, from when they've been on like an open source and they built stuff in-house, and they used to, I know you have loads of plugins, etc. Then they have to flip into like App Store and use of third-party apps, first-party apps. They have best-of-breed tools on top to plug where functionality isn't, like, you know, there natively. So how have you built your e-com stack around Shopify? What does it look like? You know, have you gone themed, headless? Have you plugged in loads of existing third-party apps? So can you talk through some of the key decisions?
Yeah. So we're not headless. It's a theme-based Liquid theme 2.0 website. We try not to use tons of apps. I still obviously always take that approach to go, less is better. What can we do with the native functionality? Always try and steer to that. I do still see some challenges with the App Store in terms of there are varying qualities of apps and also support. So again, that's another reason why we steer against using third party as much as possible. We develop straight in the Shopify ecosystem, and that is very smooth for us. From a technical perspective, meta objects and meta fields are just a godsend. You know, those two basic concepts just make Shopify so extremely flexible. It's actually even surprises me every day when you think about what you can do with those things, which you would be using external CMSs and a ton of other tools previously.
Yeah, and how have you and the development team found it in terms of, because when you come from like open source or others who've worked with like more legacy monolith systems, where if you do an integration or if you plug in a cartridge or you add a plugin, then you do significant amounts of like QA regression tests in the works to make sure that there's no bugs, it hasn't introduced other incompatibilities. How are you and the dev team now finding that? Because obviously the whole point of SaaS, and not just Shopify, but other SaaS providers world, is that actually some of that is removed. You find that, have you found that it's cut your time to market for certain things?
Yep. I mean, we went from POC to having something in a week. I think that QA time is actually there. You spend more of your time doing that because you spend less of your time building. Whereas I think what we would have found in our original development cycles with a Magento, we spend so much time building it gets to doing the QA and you don't have enough time for it. You got to ship this thing. So I think actually we found overall we have a high quality result because we can spend that time not in the nitty gritty, not in the platform, more on testing, more on working with partners and exploring new solutions. It's been a really smooth experience from that. And, you know, there's barely downtime on Shopify at this point. I think we see the admin go down more than we do on the front end.
ElasticPath is on a mission to break through the barriers that prevent commerce leaders from delivering extraordinary shopping experiences. Both business and tech teams are able to innovate on their own terms, fully embrace composability, and in turn, never compromise on what's possible. Learn more at www.elasticpath.com.
So next question. So I guess you did this pretty quickly, but moving everything from Magento, which you've been on for a while, over to Shopify isn't a small project. So obviously you're rebuilding the front end, you're migrating all of the data, probably, refactoring the catalog, moving away from certain providers to new providers. How did you manage all of this? Did you do it all internally? Did you bring in any contractors? Yeah. Like, how did you manage it?
Yeah. So you mentioned it earlier. We have a dev team. So we did it all in-house. I take a big role in that. Being a software developer myself, I can just project manage most of that and really get into the nitty-gritty. In terms of the tech, I think that is probably the more interesting one. So while I've been talking about SaaS and the trade-offs, we still do a lot of self-hosted and we use a lot of different open source tools. So just to reel off a couple of them, we use Akinio as our PIM. We use Metabase as our BI and analytics tools. We use some tools like NAN, which is no code or low code automation and workflows. Another one is Airbyte, which is an ETL tool. And the reason why I sort of reel all these off is one, we host them. So it is that sort of like counter to the SaaS. But secondly, now tools like that have enabled us to be able to, for example, pull out data out of Shopify with pre-made connectors or push data into Shopify like Akinio, because it's an industry standard. Most of these tools have something in the Shopify space. Those things weren't possible. They weren't as easy in 2018. So that these are all the sort of factors that meant now was maybe the right time to move because we could do it quicker than ever. But before it may not have even been possible and may not have been, a reasonable solution for us.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think James and I are both very pro having some of those specialist third parties outside of the platform for obviously like feature benefit, but also making migrations easier. I have a couple of questions on the Akinio piece. So firstly, did you build your own connector or did you use kind of one of the off-the-shelf option? And secondly, so one of the things that I find interesting migrating to Shopify is you have to think differently about the catalog in terms of like getting the data right from a smart collections perspective, like how data is used around filtering, like all of that kind of stuff. So did you kind of re-engineer the data within Akinio, or did you just take what you had from like an attributes perspective and then kind of figure out how to pass that into Shopify?
Yeah, it's a good question. So we're using a SaaS connector, and it escapes me what it's called. Say that again.
I think I know the one you mean. I can't remember it either. But there is one.
But you'll find it in the Shopify App Store, and effectively, it's going to join your data into metafields or attributes or tags, and pull it across. That ultimately, I would say, there's still some work to do. For example, there was some incompatibilities around media and how we pushed across photos and images and videos. But we could and we might still build something custom ourselves with NAN at some point, because I think we have, you're absolutely right, we've had to take what the data model existed in Akinio and sort of shove it into Shopify. Whereas maybe if we had come at it from the other way around, we might have done things differently. If we have our own connector or own integration middleware, we might be able to retrofit something a bit nicer that will work better with Shopify. At the moment, we have a ton of tags And I'd like to see stuff in more meta fields than just tags at this moment.
Yeah, I thought you might say that. Yeah, a lot of our clients have ended up going down that bespoke connector route. And yeah, but yeah, James, I'll let you ask the next question.
I just got a general one for people listening. There might be other retailers who are thinking of change, but you know the marketing side on Shopify is incredibly polished, but it does create this all roads are paved with gold feeling, which we know isn't the truth about e-commerce platforms. There's always challenges and risks and issues of change. So have you got any advice for other people considering this? Like, what are the key things that you had to look at to convince yourselves that this was going to be the right decision before you made the switch?
Yeah. So I alluded to it earlier in that we were building a Shopify, a headless UI based on Next.js. We worked on it for about 9 months pre to moving and never went live. So a big one for us was the sunken cost fallacy. The advice I would give is don't fall victim to it, because at least our experience has been the benefits were so great that it was still a positive ROI for us to move. I think just generally speed, cost of maintenance and development, for example, outages and issues have just gone way down. We can move much quicker. We can get, concepts and features out much quicker because a lot of it exists. This is the thing. We're not, again, when I go back to this idea of everything's table stakes really in e-commerce, it's difficult to be a competitive advantage. It's because the ecosystems are so rich that you can grab most of this stuff off the shelf. And then there's a couple of other little areas which still, I think, have to prove themselves. But for example, most third parties that we talk to in terms of apps and products, the Shopify integration is an industry standard now. There's not many tools that aren't either thinking about or don't already have it. So now when you have that conversation with a vendor, often it will already be there. Whereas maybe with Magento, it's there, maybe not. Still invariably was there for a lot of the other tools, but still it feels like Shopify is always ticking that box. And then there's a couple of other things. Like, for example, I'm quite optimistic around the Shop app where, there might be some network effects that start to kick in where Shopify themselves are really sending us customers. I think that's still got to materialize itself. But if I was to back any platform to do it, I think it would be Shopify over, a Magento, BigCommerce, you name it. I think they're just not in a position to be sort of adding that kind of value to their merchants. Whereas I'm pretty excited about what's, in the roadmap and what just seems to materialize with Shopify.
Yeah, it's interesting you start off with that point about the sunken cost, because I actually about a year ago did helped a client, B2B client, put a business case together for move to SaaS, and actually was on BigCommerce, not Shopify, but the main business case was built around internal cost saving and efficiency over like better process automation, cutting out time and effort every week for having to create promotion, having to have a developer to do coding to get the promotion to be working in the proprietary platform. And I think they worked out there's about £35,000 worth of savings alone just by cutting out inefficiency of moving to a platform with better tools, capabilities, etc. So I think it's an area that businesses need to spend more time on is time stamping the current prep and what you could do with that time proactively. So interesting. A final question for me is now you've pivoted, you're in a new world, you've got used to working with it, your development team are aligned with the new ecosystem. What's next? Like, where are you headed with roadmap? Like, are you focused on just sweating the most out of the Shopify system you've got to drive like a revenue profit? Are you looking at like new integrations, new features of third parties? Be useful to understand, what's next?
Yeah, I think from a web platform perspective now, I would say we are mostly feature complete. I think our biggest focuses are going to be around things like optimizations. So thinking about our, SEO and our various like page insight scores. So we're spending a lot of time there. we're spending a lot of time thinking about how we can do cleverer stuff for our performance marketing, how we can integrate better with affiliates. I think now, and this is probably somewhere, you know, and part of the advice question is, we're able to spend more time now on the things that we think will push the business forward than just trying to keep the website alive or pushing it along. So again, when I think about that cost of, you know, what we were missing out on, it was that we weren't able to get to the things that are going to accelerate the business, as opposed to just trying to get us, keep us afloat. So that's really where we're primarily focused now, is on these sort of commercial and marketing projects.
Yeah, and is it, because I know Paul asked about the impact on the technology on your development team, but in terms of the wider business, has it made you like restructure operationally in terms of the type of skills that you want to have in-house versus outsourced? Because obviously the toolkit you get with the Shopify gives you additional capabilities, same with other like SaaS platforms, of being able to like do more trading, merchandising, marketing, etc. So are you shifting your kind of operational model and team structure accordingly, or are you keeping it quite lean as is?
Yeah, our team actually has not changed at all. We still have the same, you know, obviously different people in the same seats, but in terms of team size and structure, it's exactly the same. I spend personally more of my time on the commercial side than I do on the tech side than previously. So I think these have had positive impacts in terms of our commercials. But no, I don't, I sort of harp on about it, but I think it's more the reallocation of that time onto the most important things. That's really where we've had our most benefits. We weren't looking to necessarily, you know, cut out costs by shrinking the team because we're doing, you know, more with a partner or whatever. It's just now about, I think we can spend more of our time on the more valuable things.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Excellent. Look, thanks for taking the time to share it. I find it really interesting, the evolution in kind of technology thinking within businesses. And I do love the fact at the start you said, in 2 years' time, I'll probably pivot again. You know that all of the vendor sales teams have now put a diary note in to come back and like harass you in about 12 months' yeah. time.
Yeah, well, you know, my mind is always open. I'm open to change. So, you know, whatever's new, my ears are open.
Excellent. Just you might want to put a filter on your inbox now. But thanks for joining us. I always enjoy chatting to you. Glad to hear that the migration's gone well. And thanks everyone for listening. Keep your ear open for our next episode. We'll drop one every week. Don't forget to give us a rating if you haven't already. Just need to go to ratethispodcast.com/replatform. It's very easy to do. And thanks again. Take care, everyone. For more information on this topic, head over to replatform.fm for our audio podcasts. To discuss a project, or if you'd like to chat about any of the topics covered in this episode in more detail, please reach out to myself, James Gerd, or my co-host, Paul Rogers, via LinkedIn and Twitter. Thanks again for listening, and keep your ears peeled for the next episode.